Welcome back. This is a Bible-based, professionally tested applicant screening system. And I'm going to review with you a five-fold strategic system for assessing the integrity of applicants. With that as an introduction, please join me in prayer. Holy Father, not to us be the glory, but to you be the glory. May you make it so that this search committee and all search committees with the Evangelical Presbyterian Church will be about the business of making sure it's your glory that's at the center of their heart and their attention, and that they will select the candidate that will proclaim your glory to the good of others and for the spread of the gospel of grace in their particular local church environment in a way that is indeed in response to the Holy Spirit's call upon that church. We thank you and praise you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In my mind, when we talk about the theory of interviewing, there's a pre-interview stage, which is selecting the appropriate questions. And then during the interview, there are three things that you're going to do at that point. You're going to set the stage for truth-telling. You're going to serve the needs of the applicant in Christian love. You're going to make sure that you follow sequential interviewing skills to dig deeply into the truth. And then finally, the post-interview stage, there is the systematic review and verification of the applicant's statements, which in some ways is the most important part of the process. When you're talking about selecting the appropriate questions, background investigators will tell you that asking the right questions of the applicant first starts with correctly analyzing his or her submitted materials. When we're talking about setting the stage for truth-telling, background investigators will say it is critical to create the psychological conditions that encourage truth-telling. But we in the Christian church can also create the spiritual conditions that encourage truth-telling. Serving the needs of the applicant in Christian love means that we must establish rapport in order for the interview to go smoothly. Sequential interviewing skills is where you're going to win it or you're going to lose it as a background investigator. And essentially, we are never to ask a general question without a follow-up probing-type question that seeks information that will fill out the applicant's statement or corroborate his account. And then finally, when all is said and done in terms of the actual interview, professional interviewers know that we have to comprehensively analyze the statements, behaviors, and omissions of an applicant. And we will have to conduct a background check in order to verify the information that we received at the interview. Now that is a theoretical overview of the system that I am presenting. Now at this time I'd like to go through those stages ever so briefly and give you some tips, if I may, on how to deal with an applicant in each and every stage. Before I do that, however, I'd like to mention that this system is a good system, but on these tapes, I'm certainly not going to answer all your questions. And that is why it's very important that you stay in close contact with your Presbytery Ministerial Committee, as well as your General Assembly level Ministerial and Vocations Committee, and making sure that you receive the best wisdom that you can as you go towards searching for your new pastor. When I was a background investigator, there were two proverbs from King Solomon that really spoke worlds to me. The first one was Proverbs 24:26, and you know this one. You've heard it before. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. And in Hebrew, the word honest literally means plain words. And that's what you want from anyone you interview. You want plain words. You want clear and concise and plain words. You want to readily be able to understand what they say and what they're communicating. And when that happens, when that communication process happens, it's like a kiss on the lips. You realize that they are communicating to you in love, and it is a wonderful thing. But anything less, however, would not be considered plain words from the Hebrew perspective. Then we come to Proverbs 25:11, which is the second proverb that made a big difference to me. It says, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Again, the Hebrew, when it says aptly in English, the Hebrew literally is quickly. Words that are honest and are well chosen usually roll out like wheels, and they come just in time. They appear spontaneous. They have the appearance of coming from the heart, and they're very fitting for the occasion. And so these two types of pieces of wisdom has helped me in interviewing people to assess their integrity in terms of how they answered the question that I set before them. So with that as just a little bit of Hebrew wisdom, we're going to apply that here in a moment later on. But let's look at selecting the appropriate questions. Let's introduce that for a minute. This is a perfect time to think through as a search committee your selection criteria for what you think your pastor, your next pastor, should look like. It also makes you think through what questions are important so that when you do go into the interview, you are prepared, you look professional, and you have a game plan. It also forces the committee to sit around and to talk about how they would interview people, and this allows everyone's spiritual gifts to come into play, and so that you can have a very well-balanced interview process based upon the conversation that you had concerning the applicant's submitted materials. We were doing this or talking about this at the Ministerial Vocations Committee at the General Assembly level when I was presenting this idea for this training. And one of the ministers reminisced about a question that he was asked in his career when he was candidating for a position that really struck a note with him. He said at the very end of the interview, the chairman of the search committee asked him this type of question. He said, "Have you done anything in the past 5 years that if discovered after you were hired here, would embarrass you, your family, or our church?" Now that is an excellent question, but that's precisely what I'm talking about. As you sit down and select your questions, the process of the group talking about it and reminiscing about how you have been interviewed, the good ways you were interviewed and the poor ways you were interviewed, will give you great insight into how to properly interview a candidate. You know, I often like to ask the question, what would God ask an applicant? You know, Psalm 15:1, we have the question being asked, Lord, who is righteous, essentially, to ascend to your holy hill? And that's a great question. And the answer to that comes in 15:2. And there it says that a person who is righteous to ascend God's holy hill speaks the truth from their heart. And to me, that is the criteria that I assess people on. Are they speaking the truth from their heart? I'm not looking for perfect people, but I am looking for people who speak the truth from their heart. I am not looking for politicians. I am looking for preachers who speak the truth from their heart. That would be what I think is one of the key ingredients that God would be asking an applicant. And also selecting the appropriate questions, here's a great time before the applicant comes, perfect time for extended prayer, because we're going to need all the help we can get from the Holy Spirit. Now, during the interview, you're going to set the stage for truth-telling. Both psychologically and spiritually, we can set the stage so that the environment gives incentives to the applicant to speak the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help them God. And that's what we're going to be talking about in a later segment. But the principle that you have to understand is that most people will lie not by commission, but by omission. Most people will not lie by a commission, which means an outright lie, because it will make them nervous. And they know that that nervousness of theirs, you will detect that they feel uncomfortable about that question, and therefore you will discover their deceit. So most people will not outright lie to you, but they will lie by omission. And that happens all the time, both in the church and outside of the church. They lie by not telling you the full truth or both sides of the story. Or selective listening and reasoning is what they will give you, but not the system of how everything went together. So it's very important that you understand that. In fact, there's a professor of psychology at William & Mary. His name is Michael P. Nichols. He has his PhD, and he's a marriage and family therapist. He wrote this wonderful book called The Lost Art of Listening, and he makes this keen observation. He says, "Experience has taught me to listen not only to what people say, but also for what they are not saying, and to wonder why." You have to ask the question, what didn't they say and why not? And very often it are those areas that they leave unsaid that need to be probed further to discover the truth so that you can make a responsible and informed decision, not only for your church, but most importantly for the Lord who loves your church. Now, during the interview stage, you're also going to serve the applicant in Christian love. In the EPC, we talk about speaking the truth in love. We want to have that balanced approach even at the applicant interviewing stage. So please be professional in every sense of that word. And what I mean by professional is be proactive. Communicate to the applicants. When they send you their material, promptly let them know that you've received it. If you have a delay for some reason in your process of searching for a new pastor, please let them know. Let them know what's going on. Send out a general email. And if you deny them, let them know promptly so that they can go on and pursue other calls that God may be placed in their path. So simply practice the golden rule. Do unto them as you would want to be treated if you were the one being interviewed or applying for the position. In my own case, the first church that I went to get interviewed by after I was ordained for a youth pastor position, they rejected me. They might have rejected me, but they're first in my heart, because even though they said I wasn't the right candidate for their youth pastor position, they built me up, they legitimately and really encouraged me, and they truly helped me see and believe that there was a future for me, a good one, a good productive ministry for me within the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. That, my friends, is what a good search committee will be about. They will know that they are also not only to screen these applicants, but also to serve them in Christian love and to build them up and to send them on their way for the Lord. Now, when you're in the process of interviewing, you want to follow certain sequential interviewing skills. And the people ask, where should you begin in an interview? You should begin by talking about the applicant's former jobs. You need to review with them those jobs. You're going to find out a tremendous amount of information. This is really the most productive source of information that you have at your disposal. In fact, applicant investigators tell us that they have this proverb that past behaviors predict future behaviors. So if you can see how they have operated on the job on the past, particularly in the recent last 5 years, you really will have a good picture of how they will respond for you. So you want to spend time there. Also, you have to realize that many applicants today are coached to make a bridge within their answer. That is, if you ask them a question, they will answer the question, but within the question, they will bridge it so that it will lead to something they want to tell you, which is not necessarily what you asked. Again, you have already set the stage for truth-telling. Their yes should be yes, and their no should be no, according to Jesus, as you will instruct them early on. And the Bible bottom line is for you, you need the answer to your question. You let that applicant know there's going to be plenty of time for them to ask their questions later on and to make their statements later on. But right now, you as a search committee need them to give you a full and complete answer to the questions that you pose to them. Do not let them use the bridge. You block that bridge and let them know that this is your opportunity to elicit the information that you need to know to make a right decision. And also, people ask me, what would be something that people usually don't ask, but you would ask in an interview? Well, to me, it's Proverbs 24:16. Proverbs 24:16 says that the righteous man may fall 7 times, but he will get up each and every time. And that is what I like to know about an applicant. I like to know what obstacles they had to overcome and how they overcame them, because that's when I really get to see their righteous character and their righteous integrity. Booker T. Washington said that it's not the successes in people's life that measures the man, but it's the obstacles that they had to overcome in order to be successful that measures the man. And I think that is true and very valuable. So as you're going through the sequential interviewing skills, we'll be looking at this much more in-depthly later on. Then finally, after the interview, you want to have a systematic verification of the applicant's statements. You want to look at the various places that they've worked, and you want to notice, have they moved around a lot? Do you see a logical reason if they have moved around a lot, like why they have been moving, such as maybe they went to seminary and then they got their first pastorate and it all seems natural? But if you see real strange movement, you need to really probe there. Also, if you go to a source that they've given you for a reference, such as their primary source, and that employer or that friend or that neighbor, whoever it is, does not give you much information, remember this little slogan: not much information from a reference means not much support for that candidate from that reference. You know, we live in an age where people are afraid of being sued, so they will be very reluctant to say anything bad about that applicant. But if they really like the applicant, they won't have any problem whatsoever bragging about the person, because no one gets sued for saying a good word about somebody. But if the person plays it safe and doesn't say much, then not much information translates into not much support for that candidate. Now, you can handle that in two different ways. You can either just let that stand and realize that that's not a very solid reference, or you can put the monkey on the applicant's back and say, hey, this reference isn't giving us much information. Well, I guarantee you, I'll say this later on as well, that if you put the monkey on the applicant's back, if they want your pastoral position, they'll get you the information post haste what you want. So elicit them into your background investigation as well. We would ask a person that we were asking a recommendation for a deputy sheriff position, we would ask the reference, would you want this person to be the deputy sheriff responding to an emergency at your home? And this is where the two Proverbs comes in. If they quickly respond with plain speech, you bet, they would be great. I would be very pleased to have them come and respond to a fire in my house, even if my children were in there. If they come back very quickly and plainly and tell you that, you've got a solid reference. On the other hand, if they hem and ha, well, that tells you just how serious and solid and how much veracity is in their reference or their recommendation. You could ask in the pastoral search process, you say, would you allow this person to officiate at your funeral, marriage, or baptism, and see what they say. You might ask, would you, meaning the reference, recommend this person to be the pastor of your own local church, and see how they respond to that. A lot of people have this feeling, well, they're all right if they're a pastor at the church down the road, but I wouldn't want them pastor here. Well, if they have that type of feeling, you can kind of know the shakiness then of their recommendation. Well, I have reviewed ever so briefly, but trying to get you into the flow of thought here in terms of what this fivefold strategic system for assessing the integrity of applicants would look like. And I just want to share with you some of my presuppositions. First off, this system is faithful to the Bible. I make no apologies for that. That's what we in the Evangelical Presbyterian Church stand for. The infallible and inerrant Word of God is the final authority in all faith and practice. Also, I believe that it's flexible in reference to the Holy Spirit. We want to make sure the Holy Spirit is sovereign in the search process, and you will see time and time again that I will refer to him and will ask you to lean upon him and the Bible's wisdom. Also, this system focuses on the applicant investigating principles that have found to work and to be successful and effective in assessing the integrity in applicants. And so we're going to be dealing with a number of tips from that area. I've also built in here a freedom to love the applicant, but also to be able to reject them if that's what's necessary, at least to reject them from your pastoral position. But we still want to love them, and we still want to be speaking the truth and love. And finally, this system is absolutely firm in the contention and in the conviction that our number one responsibility is to protect the local church. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.